Before we start the show, I want to remind folks about contest opportunities this weekend. The Florida Derby Challenge from our friends at ExpressBet. $1,500 is the buy-in for this one, and there are going to be fantastic prizes. NHC seats, hopefully if the number gets there, that BCBC seat, as well as seats to the Kentucky Derby Challenge. You can play online at ExpressBet, on track at Santa Anita, or on track at Gulfstream. To learn more, go to expressbet.com/tournaments. If you can't play this weekend, or if you can and want to double up, there's another one for Santa Anita next weekend. Make sure to get involved that on April 6th. Once again, $1,500 buy-in. Once again, 100% of the entries paid out as cash prizes. expressbet.com/tournaments. And while we're talking tournaments, we're going to have a live stream that I want you all to check out, our Echo Town 8, in partnership with our friends at Adelphi Racing Club. You can win part of this horse that I'm in on, this Echo Town colt named Skytown. We have our 8 final entries going to be competing in a final table format. Watch along live, 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. Follow it on the In the Money Media socials. At Looms Boldly on Twitter, a place to get it. Just go to our YouTube channel. We want you to be rating and subscribing and watching all of our YouTube exclusive content. Anyway, that's another place you can watch our Echo Town 8 final table with live racing coverage Saturday night from 5 to 7. Make sure to check it out. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Friday, March 29th. Peter Thomas Fornital back in the Brooklyn bunker once again, and very excited to bring in our first guest right away. He comes to us from Woodbine, but he's here to talk about the JRA, and specifically big JRA action happening Saturday night into Sunday morning in the form of the Osaka High. Also, some horses we've talked about a lot on these shows running in Dubai on Saturday morning. We'll have a full look at the Dubai card on the In the Money Plus side with Michael Adolphson, inthemoneypodcast.com/plus, if you want to check that out. But we'll take a high-level look at some of the Japanese runners in Dubai and talk about the card at Hanshin Saturday night into Sunday morning with Klaus Ebner. Klaus, how are things?
Good, Pete. How you doing?
Things are good, man. A lot of travel miles, but back in the bunker. And the first morning back is never bad coming from England. You feel like a little bit ahead of the game almost. But talk to me in a few hours. By about the sixth inning of the Mets opener today, I think I'm going to be looking for a place to lie down. But so far, so good.
Yeah. I did that journey from Cheltenham myself last year. And fantastic facility. But, you know, I think that they have their own challenges. You know, it's funny how we speak about challenges. We've seen in North America, but then you experience some of those over on the other side of the pond. And I guess some of the logistical challenge that Cheltenham Racecourse has had in terms of getting people out of the course and into the course. And yeah, it's interesting. So
definitely. And there's been a lot of talk about changing up that race program. It's funny, you know, 20 years ago there, when I started going, you wouldn't see these heavy favorites, maybe one in a meeting, maybe none. There were like 7 odds on favorites, which is very weird for over there and something they should be looking at in terms of some of the challenges they face. Great racing. And then we hung around for couple of weeks. You know, obviously I was doing creating content, working the whole time, but also got to have some fun, go to some theater, and that stuff was good. But now, very happy to be back in the USA, going to be heading down to Keeneland next week, getting very excited about continuing our partnership with Woodbine as your meet gets started. But again, here today to look farther east and talk a little bit about Japanese racing. Now, this meet specifically, and the Osaka High in particular, this race has really been affected, hasn't it, by the conflict, as it were, with Dubai and some of the top horses heading over that way? I mean, it still remains an interesting race, but that's something that I feel like has really changed in the last few years.
Yes and no. I was originally thinking the same thing in terms of the field themselves. I'm like, oh man, you know, Liberty Island, Stars on Earth, Justin Palace, Shariar, you know, those are 4 pretty big horses in Japan in terms of how strong and powerful they were based on last year's performance. But then when, you know, look at the Hosaka High itself and you see who's still left, well, you know, it's not bad. You have a Derby winner in there, you have a Satsuki Show winner in there from last year, and you have a whole bunch of others who kind of are on that upswing, if you will, of form. So, you know, I think for me, it's really, these are horses that need to step up and show they can be on that level of a Liberty Island or others that have kind of shipped over to Dubai. So we may see some of these others, you know, down the road. Maybe we see some of these in the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year this year, with it being in Del Mar. So, you know, I think it's just a case of, you know, we have some really good ones in terms of developing four-year-olds that are in here, but you also have a few question marks in regards to the five-year-olds. And you know, speaking of five-year-olds, have had a pretty good strike rate over the past 10 years, winning six of the last 10 years. So, you know, if you're doing a handicapping, you know, yes, it's just a number. But, you know, for me, there are at least a few five-year-olds in here that I think deserve a really strong look. You know, we'll start off with a favorite. He has a five-year-old, and that's a horse called Praderia. So Praderia comes in off of a win last time out in the Grade 2 Kyoto Kinin. This one here beat Bellagio Opera, who's also in here. You know, finished 14th against Doduce in the Rima Kinin, but prior to that was another winner at 2,400 meters in the Kyoto Daishoten. So, you know, he's had a really kind of spotty career in terms of, you know, he's by Deep Impact, so the breeding was there to suggest that, you know, he probably would be a lot better than he has been. But then, you know, his form cycles, you know, he's won a race and then kind of, we'll call it crap the bed afterwards. So, you know, he's kind of, right. Exactly. So he's one of those horses that just, you know, has shown promise, but then never had a consistency in terms of living up to it. So I think that's a question now as well. You know, in this race here, he's up against tougher competition again. Will he rise to the occasion as the favorite in here, or will he kind of wilter again in here? So, you know, as a favorite, I think he's a bit vulnerable in my opinion. So yes, the quality is there based on his last effort, but you know, there are others in here that I think that deserve a really strong look. And if you're looking at another five-year-old who is really coming to form last year in the right time, and that was a horse that I'm very high on, that's called Rushan Park. Won the all comers last year in September over 2,200 meters in Akiyama, beating title holder, who is himself a very, very good horse in Japan. He's gone to the you know, stud farm now, in terms of title holder. You know, he ran in Hong Kong last time out, finished at eighth, disappointing eighth. I know the connections there, including the trainer Tanaka. I know him personally now after him visiting Woodbine last year. And I know I've said this numerous times, but great trainer, great up-and-coming trainer. He was a previous Grade 1 winning jockey in the past in the JRA circuit. So, you know, if you look at Rushan Park's PPs, well, there's a lot of ones there. So that's what, yeah, I like seeing. So it means consistency is there. I'm not willing to you know, hold that Hong Kong race against him. That was his first time leaving the country, first time shipping. So I'm sure there's a lot of variables in there that kind of led to his performance being as, you know, lackluster as it was in Hong Kong. And also as it was the end of a longer season for him. So, you know, the fact he gets fresh in for here, for this race here, you know, Lemaire was his typical rider. So that's one of, it's kind of a possible negative, but then you do have Keita Tosaki pick up the mount. Keita Tosaki has ridden him in the past. So again, for me, it's one of those things where, you know, first race back at a late developing horse, with the right connections, owned by Sunday Racing. So if anything, he'll probably be my go-to horse, and weekend I'll be keying my wages around him being Rushan Park. And you know what, in terms of, you know, we speak to the race being wide open, Pete, and I think that Rushan Park kind of fits that mold of being wide open. So, you know, in the current markets in Japan, he's going to be around 6-1 there. I assume he'll probably be around that price or possibly even higher in our North American pools, just because of the fact we have others in here that kind of have more of a marquee name to them, and that may be more familiar to some of the wagerers, including, you know, Tastiera and Geoglyph and Solorians and others. But for the most part, I think I'm going to be, you know, focusing around Rushan Park as my, you know, top selections in the race.
And just to clarify, Lemaire taking off, not any sort of knock on Rushan Park. He's riding in Dubai for the weekend, so nothing to get too upset about. And I think that's a good point about, you know, the long campaign, the ship, having time to recover, positive quotes from the trainer about how the horse is doing. Plenty of arrows pointing in that direction, and a square price. You mentioned another one of the ones that I was going to ask you about, who we talked about plenty last year, one of the four-year-olds, this one by Kittison Black, Solorians. How do you think his chances look in this race, Saturday night into Sunday morning?
Yeah, I'm one of the guys who's part of the Solorians fan club, so you know, just his efforts earlier on in his 3-year-old career last year wowed me and said to me, you know, in my opinion that, hey, this is a horse to watch. I think he'll be a beast later on down the road. You know, traditionally, Kittison Black sired horses do develop a little bit later, as we experienced with the Brilliant Equinox. So I think he's very similar in that ilk of an Equinox type. I'm not going to say he's as good as Equinox, not at all. I think the challenge that we've seen with Soul Orient is that in my opinion at least, his riders have put him at a disadvantage in a lot of his races to do too much too late. So, you know, yes, he is more of a late closer and late runner in here. But, you know, in my opinion, if he can sort of settle mid-pack in here, instead of just dropping out the back and making a giant, you know, late rush at the end, I think that will, you know, be in his favor to really put in a more stronger performance, if you will. You know, so if you go back to some of his races as a, you know, 3-year-old in early career, well, yeah, he would sit mid pack, make a big run. Even in the Derby, he was only sitting sixth and lost by, you know, a slight margin, if we want to call it that, to Tastiera in the Derby. So, you know, I feel that he and the jocks have been his own worst enemy, Pete. And just the fact that, you know, if he gets a more, I'd say more aggressive ride early. I'm not going to say aggressive in terms of being up to the pace. He doesn't want that at all, but at least being more forwardly placed into the race in terms of, you know, we'll say mid pack to a little bit lesser, you know, a little bit less farther back. I think he'll have a big shot in here, and he comes with a big run. You know, he's only had one start this year, finished a respectable fourth in last time out in the Nakama Keenan over 1800 meters, mile and eighth. I think he's one to watch just because of the last two races being a fourth and then an eighth against Odus and Remy McKinnon. To your point, I think he'll drift up in the odds, and you may get, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10 to 1 on him right now. And again, to that point, you know, he is facing another really strong 4-year-old in here, and that is the Derby winner, so we can't fault him for that. And that's Tastiera, who, you know, has had the better of Soul Orient a couple of times when they have faced each other. And, you know, again, I'm not going to hold the sixth against Dodus and the Remy Keenan, and also against Tastiera in that event. I think Tastiera is a very, very talented colt. You know, he finished, again, won the Derby, second in the Satsuki Show, second in the Kikuko Show, which is the third leg of the Triple Crown. So quality animal. And I think that, you know, the fact that he's kind of reunited with a jockey that, you know, has won on him in the past certainly helps things for the weekend and is also one to watch.
I think it's a good overview of a short list for what promises to be an exciting race, even with the horses running over in Dubai. Let's do a quick couple of minutes, Klaus, on the Japanese contingent running there. Got some big stars, as we've talked about already. But is there one in particular, if you were to pinpoint one Japanese horse running in Dubai on Saturday morning, who would be the one you would choose?
Wow, for me, the standout is going to be Liberty Island. I just think that she is the real deal. You know, I'm not going to falter her finishing second, closing second to Equinox in the Japan Cup in her last start. You know, she just exudes class, won the Triple Tiara last year in Japan. You know, she is an Almond Eye type. I think she's better than Almond Eye, and that's obviously, you know, that's a big claim by me, but I do think she's better than Almond Eye in terms of talent. And the fact that, you know, she was just held by Equinox to me says, well, you know, if Equinox beat, and again, I know we're, you know, going through the motions here, but for the most part, you know, if she can get that close to Equinox and Equinox destroyed a quality field as easy as it did last year in the Chuma Classic, I just think that I think the world of her. I think she's really the one to beat, and on her best I think she could destroy the field on Saturday.
That would be a fun story to see. And I, you know, I'm a huge fan as well. It'd be great to see how she comes back to the races. What about some of the Japanese runners in any of the other races? Do you project to be having a few different bets?
Yeah, certainly. You know, in terms of the early races, you know, Iron Barrows is a kind of sneaky good horse. If you look at him, he's in the 2-mile race there. I apologize if I remember the name of it, but
it's the Gold Cup, Dubai Gold Cup.
Yep. So, you know, in the Gold Cup, I think Iron Barrows is a sneaky good horse in there. You know, he won a race over 3,600 meters in December. You know, again, 11th in the Arima Keenan after that. But I just think that for the most part, he wants this long. He's going to enjoy going this long and should have no issue. The field isn't the strongest in there, in my opinion. So, again, I think he has a shot in there. Poor Jasper Krohn. If you look at the kind of the turf sprint, that poor guy, he has like a traveler's passport for sure, going from, you know, the States to Hong Kong to, you know, Saudi Arabia on the dirt and then now to Dubai. So, I respect him. I think he's a good horse. I just think he needs some of that home cooking when returning back to Japan. Forever Young looks to be a beast. I see Michael posting a lot of pics about him. Everyone says he's a monster in terms of the size, and he looks to be a beast. Again, let's just hope he can change leads this time, Pete.
Yeah,
that's the one thing for Forever Young, because he kind of leads the main, at least the main Japanese Derby hopes in the for the Kentucky Derby. And then moving forward, you know, we have a sneaky, interesting horse for me in the dirt sprint, that being Don Frankie, who, you know, ninth last time out in the February Stakes, but I think this horse did not want to go that long at all. He's not a miler. He is definitely a sprinter, and this is kind of him returning to his game. And I think that, you know, for me, I'll put a lot of money on Don Frankie in that.
That's an interesting one. I can see it. You know, that was off a 137-day break. And yeah, did show a little bit of, you know, showed a little bit of pace, weakened, but yeah, back doing the things the right way. And also the other thing about that race is it does look like it has the potential to be a bit of a burn up. Maybe that turn back in distance we talk about, just, you know, even not knowing the form that well, seeing a second off the layoff turn back, gets my horse player blood pumping. So I'm definitely interested in Don Frankie based on that. That's not one of the runners we talked about on the other show with Michael that people will chat about. Dodoo's certainly one who's going to take a ton of money as well in the very next race, the Dubai Turf. What do you expect we're going to see from him?
Yeah, nothing but brilliance. Again, you know, the race last year with him shipping to Dubai and getting, you know, having the issues he had in Dubai, I think they kind of threw off his season. He finally came right at the end of the year with that brilliant win in the Arima Keenan. So, you know, and I've always felt with Dodus that the shorter distances would be probably the best for him. And it's interesting to see their connections kind of think the same way. So, you know, again, I just think that, you know, he's a very, very talented horse. Some people, it's funny, some people in Japan actually think that Dodus was more talented than Equinox, but just because of the way that his, you know, travel schedule was altered last year with a scratch and then having to kind of regroup, get back to fitness again. You know, he also lost his main rider, Yutaka Take, who knows this horse inside and out. And because those first two starts back after the Dubai debacle last year were with Keita Tosaki riding him, well, you know, they're kind of like, well, throw those out, and you can see because the next race came back and won the Arima Keenan with Yutaka Take back on board again. Yep. So, yeah, I just think, you know, they showed his workout in at Medan as well. Almost mirrors the workout he had last year. I think he's another beast. So, you know, in terms of both turf races, I think you'll see two beasts being Dodus and Liberty Island.
Very interesting. I was a little concerned about the mile and eighth being a bit sharp for Dodus, who certainly did win over a mile earlier in the career. I was wondering if that wasn't maybe part of the reason for the improvement last time. But you don't seem to have any concerns about that, so maybe I shouldn't.
Oh. Yeah, and again, I think also the fact is that I think the connections know, and you know, I think they're pretty smart because they know if they enter the Shima Classic last year, they run into the beast that is Equinox. So they knew that. So like, well, why run against him and battle out him and maybe finish second? So let's go ahead and enter him in the turf and we should be okay. And then here they're just like, well, we have another one in the form of Liberty Island in there. So yeah, let's try to scoop the easier money in the turf. And also again, with a horse that, you know, in my opinion is, can certainly get the mile and a half, no problem, but it's probably more talented at a shorter distance.
All right. Well, there you go. So you're seeing it as an actual positive for the horse. Good stuff there. We're going to see some of the stars of the JRA running Saturday morning. And then, you know, great day of racing at the Gulfstream, etc. We have that covered on a whole other show as well. You can check out what the guys had to say on the live stream we did last night for that one. That'll also be posted as a podcast. But then stay up late. And you have the opportunity to bet the JRA Racing from Hanshin. And there will be plenty of analysis from Klaus and the team, including past performances, over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. What time do you, I know this answer, but just for the sake of the audience, what time can we expect that to be posted, Klaus?
Yeah, we'll probably have that up probably around, anywhere from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, depending on, you know, how the team gets together with selections. Obviously, we have Toshi in the Middle East, as I understand right now. So, I think he's doing some translating duties out there. So hopefully Toshi can get it done for us and we should be okay.
That's awesome. No, we got to have him back on soon, hear about his travels as well. Always a pleasure to have him and you and the rest of the team that covers JRA. We're going to be doing it all season long. We're going to be picking up our Woodbine coverage soon too. Klaus, just want to thank you one more time for coming on the show and hope to get to talk to you again soon.
Thanks again, Pete.
Today's show also brought to you in part by our friends at NYRA. America's Day at the Races returns this Saturday on Fox Sports to cover the Aqueduct Winter Meet. Tune in to watch 9 exhilarating races headlined by the Excelsior Stakes. Join JK, Andy, Maggie, Acacia, and the rest of the Fox team for live racing, expert analysis, expert picks, and more. Bet on the races using NYRA Bets. New members receive up to a $200 deposit match. Nonstop fun at the Aqueduct Winter Meet. For showtimes and a TV schedule, visit InTheMoneyPodcast.com/TV. Next up on the show, very happy to bring in a returning guest. He comes to us from his role as one of the managing partners over at Sport of Kings Racing Partners. I believe down in South Florida today, which is making me kind of envious. At least the rain has stopped here, but it is a little chilly in New York. I'm sure it's nicer in Florida. Michael Karras, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Pete. Good to be with you today. How was your trip?
Oh, I had a great time. You know, it was a lot of work. You know, it wasn't a pure vacation, but the racing in Cheltenham was fun. And then it was great having the family over. We did a lot of fun stuff in terms of theater. But honestly, one of my favorite things I did, at least work-wise on the trip, was getting to catch up with Dale Romans and talking to him about his relationship with you guys. He's just always a hoot. And I feel like I learned something about horsemanship every time I talk to the guy.
Yeah, Dale's a fantastic guy, fantastic trainer. He has his ways of training that might not be like others, but he gets the job done for sure.
Certainly done a great job with you guys and your recent stakes winner, Coppola. Enjoyed those conversations. Are things on schedule for his next start?
Yeah, we've nominated Coppola for the Shackleford. All systems go for next Saturday. He's stretching out a touch to 5.5, which, you know, honestly, 5 is probably his best, but he's doing great. He's in great order. And, you know, he's just a pure racehorse. I visited him with him yesterday, and he's just all racehorse. He's definitely not a friendly type of horse. He's all business, to say the least.
Not to be confused with not one you're going to want to send the children to feed carrots. It didn't sound like from the conversation.
I was actually with my daughter yesterday, and we had a warner. You know, be careful for this guy because he's got a lot of spirit to him for sure.
Well, I'm looking forward to being there at Keeneland for opening weekend. You know, you guys have really been competing on a lot of the biggest stages. You're here today to talk about this pick 6 at Aqueduct on Saturday, and we'll get there. But first, I want to talk to you about the horses you have in this weekend. What is your slate looking like for this Saturday?
Well, we're going to start off today. Well, first of all, we have one in today at Aqueduct in race number 4, Kushan Bridge, trained by the Kent Demasis. Kushan is a talented horse. The last two races, one in the slop, and one at 6 furlongs. That's really not his best distance. His best distance is about 6.5. So we expect him to run really well today. I know the Comanches; they've got him ready to go. There is some competition in this race, which could benefit Kushan Bridge, and that would be some speed up front. You got Magic Express has a lot of speed, and the number 4 horse is coming off a layoff, but he's got speed as well. Mandatory has speed, so we're hoping kind of to sit off maybe about 3-4 lengths off the lead, and then, when Cantel says go, we go.
I like it. I think it sounds like a good – Good plan for the Big A. I'll have that on as I watch the Mets opening day today. That's good to know. Anything else on Friday, or do we move right ahead to Saturday?
Yeah, we go into Saturday. We have Wake Surf's going to be in tomorrow in race number 2 at Aqueduct. And our competition is going to come from Chad's Brown Horse. He's got a lot of talent as well as Wake Surf. But Rick Dutrow has done an amazing job having this horse ready to go. He's got some nice works into him. He's done a little bit of work on his backside. And, you know, we expect a big run out of him tomorrow. So that's pretty exciting for us, you know, just, you know, to have a start to a good Saturday on the Florida Derby Day.
Love it. Love it. Any other runners from you guys in the at Aqueduct or Gulfstream on Saturday?
Yes, we have a couple more in on Saturday. Magnolia Midnight, which we'll talk about in the pick six. We have in race 9 tomorrow. And then we also have the Best Distance running at Gulfstream tomorrow in race number 2. Dale Romans, we made a move from Sanchez over to Dale Romans about a month ago. And I checked in on the Best Distance yesterday, and he as well looks good. He looks better. He's coming back off of some of the workouts a lot better than he had been. Spirit Animal is going to be very tough to beat in this one.
Yeah,
and Fly the W as well are the two to beat, but. You know, the Best Distance is a runner. You know, he likes to get on the front end and go. He's been a little short the last couple of times out, but we feel like these works have been much better, and we expect a solid performance tomorrow from the Best Distance. So
I think you're giving us a pretty good idea of the type of action you get when you're part of the Sport of Kings Racing Partners, because you got a bunch of horses in on these top days, and these are the circuits, you know, knowing my listeners, these are the circuits they follow the most closely. Obviously they pay attention in Kentucky, they pay attention in California, but New York and Florida is where a lot of the action is at. And one of the reasons why interested people should definitely check out the offerings on your website over at sokracing.com. And I would imagine this is probably too late of a message for this, because by the time people are listening, it may have already happened. But I did understand you were doing a little extra promo, appropriately enough, in the Sport of Kings room at Gulfstream today. What can you tell the listeners about that?
Well, it's actually our event's going to be outside of the track as people come in. We'll give them a chance to get a free hat and T-shirt. And then, you know, if they don't want to wear it, they can throw it in their car or truck and wear it for another day. But, yeah, we're excited. We're going to be giving out about 500 hats and 3,000 T-shirts. It's going to have our logo on it, our phone number, if anybody's interested in contacting us for any reason at all. We'll be answering the phones, and we look forward to a really fantastic day at Gulfstream. The weather's beautiful, 78, light breeze, and sunshine, Pete. What do you think of that?
I love it. I considered heading out to Citi Field today, but decided it might be a nice day to just sit and watch at home. It looks like it's going to be a little chilly out there. And there's also that phenomenon that place is always 10 degrees colder than the rest of New York. So I'm going to avoid the crowd and the frostbite and watch from home. It's also a lot easier to bet the races and watch baseball at the same time from the safety of the office as opposed to going down there. But a little Florida sunshine sounds nice. That would definitely get me out of the bunker if it were an option.
For sure. And then you don't have to worry about driving home after a loss. I'm a Yankee fan, so I had to throw that in there.
We had a big
it may well be. Brewers have quite the they have quite the offense, so it's not going to be an easy one. But I feel like they usually win on opening day before ultimately ripping my heart out. So I'm feeling optimistic. Let's dive into this pick six at Aqueduct on Saturday. It starts off in race number 4 with a $20,000 maiden claimer. Where was your eye drawn in this one, Michael?
Well, this is a particularly tough race. I really spent a lot of time on this one, and I've got four horses to start out the pick six, and that would be the 2, the 8, the 9, and the 3. I'm leaning towards Citizen Mac. I kind of like the drop in class. And they also think that, you know, in this kind of a race, could take a stalker position coming off from the pace. There are, you know, there's a couple in there that will probably go. Model S will probably go towards the front. The number three, Mr. Georgie, you know, his second time out, coming off a maiden 40, dropping in class. The distance, you know, another half a furlong could be a little bit of a problem. The number four horse is taking a major drop, which should help, dropping out of maiden special weight and maiden 75. Looked like it had some speed early at a 7 furlong race in the slop. So I'm gonna use these four horses to start off that pick 6, 2, 8, 9, and 3.
I like that forerunner you mentioned. I thought the drop might be just the thing to get a better run from Herd on the street, and was envisioning on the slight cutback in distance and this drop in class, maybe being able to sit in a good stalk and pounce situation. Certainly, it's an open race, as you point out, and every one of the runners you mentioned had chances. But I was hoping something on the order of 7-2. You know, maybe we can get Herd on the street, Herd from, as we kick off the pick 6 at Aqueduct. We'll see how that one plays out tomorrow. Let's move on to the fifth race, the starter allowance, going 6 furlongs on the dirt. We've got an entry in here that's going to take an awful lot of money in the form of First Deputy and Print Track. I thought the race was going to just set up absolutely perfectly for Big Engine, who's one of these horses who's very hard not to root for. Very tough, winning kind, 9-year-old gelding. I thought the old boy might have another big one in him here. In this spot, what did you think of race number 5? You think I'm on the right track with Big Engine, or is the
for favorite sure. too tough? Yeah, you're definitely on the right track. I mean, this to me looks like a two-horse race between the two you mentioned. I've always liked Big Engines. There's something about that horse. I've actually tried to claim him a couple of times with no success, and he kind of ran into a tough go back in November. And, you know, he's come up through the claiming ranks. He's run for 10. He went up to 25, 45. And, you know, here he is again, the old 9-year-old still running strong. And, of course, First Deputy, you know, is always going to be there. That's a horse that likes to run and be part of the action. And now Pin Track is the other one, too, that caught my eye. So I would take 2-6 in this one, Big Engine and Pin Track, and it looks like a two-horse race when they hit the stretch.
I agree. Hopefully we can lock that one up and keep things simple as we move on to the pick 4, which continues with race number 6, starter allowance. The very notable distance here, going 1 3/8 on the dirt, and 1 3/8 race that looks like it has some pace in it too, so you got to figure the stamina may come into play. Ultimately, who did you pick to win?
Well, I really like the 5-horse Sitting on Go. David Jacobson seems to have his horses in perfect spots just about all the time. He doesn't miss an opportunity, especially to get, a purse like today for a start at 25, a $75,000 purse. That's very impressive. And I know he's going to have his horse ready. That would be my number one pick in this race, would be Sitting on Gold on Go. And I'd also add into the pick 6, I'd add in number 8 and number 11. Mama's Gold is a horse that is trained by my friend Chad Summers. And I give him a good shot to at least hit the board. And I'll round it out with the number 11 horse. And that would be the 3 I would use in that race 6, 5, 8, and 11.
I'm with you on the 5. I think the horse is going to get a terrific trip in this spot, and the name might prove to be appropriate. I did have one from a pedigree point of view I wanted to throw in, and that was the number 2, Majestic Frontier, who ran a really good race last time, going 9 furlongs for the first time, stretching out farther here, but given the bloodlines with Keen Ice as the sire, I thought there was an opportunity that this horse could continue to improve going long. So I was going to try to sneak one in there 5-2. Michael Siding 5-8-11. Hopefully we can just get this five in and both stay alive in this pick six. But a few other ideas for people that want to go a little bit deeper in race number six, which brings us to race number seven. We got a starter allowance to a 12,500 situation here, going 7 furlongs on the dirt. And this was one that I struggled with a little bit. I could tell you stories for about 6 horses in this race, Michael. I was hoping you had a little bit more clarity for us.
Well, I'm going to start off with number one, Carol's Girl. Should be...
That was one of my six. Interesting price there, too.
Yeah, for sure. I think this is such a tricky distance, 7 furlongs. It's so hard to train for this. Usually horses, you know, when you're running 7 furlongs, they're not sure if the horse wants to go long or short, and it sets up a totally different race coming down the stretch. I also think Majestic Seaport is by far it should be a single in this race. It's best on the numbers, on the sheet numbers, and I kind of like him in this race as well. Majestic Seaport would be my pick in this one, and I would have a 1-7-10 to round out that race number seven. Liberty Frame is the 10 horse, and coming off a short layoff, last time ran on March 16th, ran well, got second, lost by 5 at 6-1. But had a nice run and closed in that stretch. So this tricky distance might just be exactly what Liberty Frame needs to possibly get involved. But I'm going to stick with the 1-7-10 in this one.
Yeah, I get the cases on all of them. I was going to try to beat Mystic Steeport, maybe foolishly, just on the idea of, you know, she's going to catch an absolute ton of money. You've been bet to odds on the last, 5 times?
Yeah.
And usually obliges. It's not like I have any questions about this Virginia bred. But I was just thinking, with maybe some other speed in here, maybe a Sue Ellen Michigan to keep her honest and the 7 furlongs in play, maybe it can set up for a stalk and pounce type of a run from somebody like Carol Girl, who I think will be, you know, has the positional speed to not be too far out of it. But maybe that extra bottom from going a little bit farther. And at 12-1 on the morning line, I mean, maybe that's optimistic, given if both you and I came up with in our top two picks, maybe a horse that's going to catch a little bit more money than that. But she's definitely one that I think is worth putting in there. I'll spread for my life underneath, but I'll definitely mention the idea of the one as a potential top pick in race number seven. And I will say we're a little bit oppo with the obvious favorite in that one. And I may just get sand kicked in my face, but you know, no guts, no glory. I'll give it an opportunity to see if we can get something in a little bit of a price in race number seven,
which
brings us to stakes action in the form of the Excelsior. We have a mile and an eighth race. Unlike so many of the ones we've talked about today, didn't see exactly a blazing pace setting up in this spot. And I thought that might lead a runner like Olympic Dreams to have an absolutely perfect trip in this spot. I definitely want some sixes on my tickets. Where are you going to go?
Well, I'm going to circle Kinetic Sky in this one. Kinetic Sky and Olympic Dreams are definitely going to be the two front runners in this one. Dutro is running at 28% win and 60% in the money at Aqueduct. His ROI is 2.25 with Lascano. Kinetic Sky is going to be my pick in this one. I just think he's going to get the job done. And, you know, the horse has won 3 out of 5 races. Dutro, you know, can get it done in this position. I really like Kinetic Sky in this one.
I absolutely see the case for this runner. Has ran a terrific race last time without a particularly great setup, and certainly is a hard trier who absolutely fits on the numbers, and one I could absolutely see throwing in as a backup if my ticket construction allows it. Though, as much as I'm spreading in the seventh on my backup lines, it may be tricky. All right, that brings us to the house horse on today's show. We close things out with another starter allowance going a mile on a dirt. Let's start with you talked about Magnolia Midnight a bit earlier, but what kind of level of confidence do you have here?
Well, you know, honestly, I'm a little on the fence on this one. If we get rid of the last two races, you know, of course, then we should be very competitive in this race. The one, there's two things we know for sure about this horse. Is number one, he doesn't like the slop. And number two, he doesn't like running 7 furlongs. His ideal distance is 1 mile. So we really had no choice to put him in on that race on December 9th due to the fact that we had to get him, we needed to get a race into him. And then we enter on, you know, for a race on February 2nd, and we run a mile in an off track. Did not like the off track at all. Now today we get a fast track. You know, I expect a much better run out of Magnolia Midnight in this one. Margin of Air, you know, is one probably to contend with in this race. Definitely a horse that has speed, can also run off the pace if needed. Very difficult kind of a horse to deal with here. Very consistent. The question here with Margin of Air is, coming off the races in Laurel and down in Parks, is he good enough to run with these kind of horses? The numbers say yes, but I'm not totally convinced that Margin of Air could get it done today. You've also got another horse, the 10 horse, who I really like, and I'd single this one out if I had to, but that would be Magical Ways, Rudy Rodriguez. He's a master with these claimers. He took this one from 16,000 all the way up to the 1X allowance. Coming off a win, good job by Rudy. I would throw in this race, the 1, 9, and 10. Those would be my three picks.
Makes sense. I'm with you on Magical Ways. That was my top pick in this spot. I feel like, again, that little cutback, that ability to pass horses, should be able to sit handy. I feel that the 8 and the 9 are probably going to be where most of the pace comes from. I was going to ask you about Magnolia Midnight. I kind of want to see stalk and pounce tactics with the speed of the 8 and the 9, but I don't know, from down at the rail, is your hand forced? Sure you leave this up to trainer and jockey, but what kind of trip would you like to see from Magnolia Midnight?
Well, definitely Magnolia Midnight, when it's winning and running its best, has speed and likes to be near the lead. So being on the rail, I could see us getting to the front and keep going. He's done it before. His race back on November 12th at a $16,000 starter, he basically went wire to wire with 8 horses. He's run with some of these other horses, looking at the roses, we got third to in an optional 25. So I would, to answer your question, Magnolia Midnight, I would look for him to be on the lead or very close.
Franco is very good at those aggressive type of rides. Franco's won on Magnolia Midnight a couple of times. I'm definitely keeping this horse in the mix for sure. Yeah. But I do think there's some possibility this race falls apart. So that might help a runner like Magical Ways, who won't be too far back. But I wonder, especially with Mirage being able to watch the pace, all the pace being to that one's inside, you know, I sometimes liken that position to a player on the button in poker, gets to watch everybody else play the cards and then decide where he wants to be. So that's one I'll definitely want in there as well. And then another runner who I think could just end up with the right kind of trip if they do go too fast, and another old class horse, Winning Kind, the 11 Looking at Roses is another one I'll put in there. So I'll mess around with the 1, the 10, and the 11 in here. Sounds like 1, 10, and 9 for you to close things out in this Aqueduct Pick 6 on Saturday.
Yes, sir. That's what we got going on. So I just want to remind everybody that we are sokracing.com. If you're around Gulfstream and you want to stop in and just say hi, look for us. We'll all be outside. We'll all be ready to answer any questions and hopefully meet some fantastic people this weekend.
Sounds like a great plan. Where will you be stationed on Saturday? Will you be, I assume you'll be racing at Gulfstream in a place where you can watch all these Aqueduct races as well?
Yeah. Yes, we'll be sitting outside at a table with a TV on at the finish line at Gulfstream tomorrow, and look for us in the winner's circle in race 2.
I love it. And we should do a little equal time on the baseball front. I believe from one of our previous conversations, you're a fan of that other New York team, the one that's undefeated so far with the big win on opening day yesterday. What's your predictions for your Yankees this season?
Well, you know, they're going to hit, and there's going to be a lot of power. The question, like it always is the pitching. They really need to shore the pitching up a little more. And for some reason, they seem to find a lot of injuries. They've got a bunch of players out right now, but they're going to be able to hit their way to win some games that, you know, they probably have to get in 10 nines, 8-7 type of games, but that's the way they're pretty much built right now. I would like to see them, you know, pick up another arm during the season, but they're going to be right there. That's a tough division now. You have so much in that division with Tampa, and the Blue Jays and Baltimore. You know, you have this young talent from all these different teams. For the Yanks, it's going to come down to pitching. We know they can hit.
And I think you're right, though, about maybe trying to be aggressive to add arms. There are really four teams in that division that if they were in other situations, look like they could win 90 games. And there's going to be a lot of interesting baseball this season in the AL East. I'm looking forward to following it throughout the season. We'll have to get to a game at some point. Do you get to many games?
I come to a handful. I try and get over to a couple of games for sure. And I'll look you up, and then we'll meet at the Yankee Stadium.
I love it. I haven't been in a couple of years, actually, so I need to get back there. And it's probably a major parenting fail that my 11-year-old daughter, who's becoming a baseball fan, has not been to Yankee Stadium. I mean, obviously, it's not Yankee Stadium. It's not exactly where Babe Ruth played, but, I mean, it's still a place of historical significance any baseball fan should be looking to get. Absolutely. We can all agree on that.
Definitely.
Michael, thank you so much. The website again, sokracing.com. I really have enjoyed working with this team. We're going to do more. We'll have another SOK Racing segment next week, and we'll see. Hopefully we keep things rocking and rolling throughout the year, and it's always a pleasure having members of the SOK Racing team on. Michael, we'll be talking soon.
Okay, Pete, you take care. Have a great weekend.
That's just about going to do it for today's show, but I want to reiterate the challenge I put out in the newsletter and on social media with our friends at Cut. I am going to be betting the Mets every day of the new baseball season, or at least until I get my head kicked in. But no, I really believe that my Mets are going to be okay this year and a little bit overvalued in the market. So every day I'm going to put up a bet looking to back the Mets on Cut. And if you don't agree with me, if you want to bet against them, take the other side of that bet. You can match the whole thing. You can match part of it. Great betting terms. Only 3% takeout in these markets, which is obviously pretty fantastic. And you have an opportunity to get some free money with our sign-up bonus, ITM24. So download the Cut app, sign up, use that bonus, get your free money, and put your money where your mouth is. If you think the Mets opponents are going to win, look for me on there. You can find me. You could probably guess Looms Boldly, the username, but also you can just go to the baseball markets and take a look. And if you want another bet, go do that. You don't have to accept my challenge. It's just one way of doing it. As folks know, big fan of Cut, the app, K-U-T-T, in the app store on that one. All right, now we are done. Let's do some thank yous, though, before we get out of here. Klaus Ebner, really appreciate him. Really appreciate Michael Karras as well. If you're a Plus person, lots of extra content in addition to the Dubai show we talked about earlier. We're also going to have Clay Sanders tomorrow to talk about the Arkansas Derby card. So lots of great content if you subscribe. If you don't, what are you waiting for? InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus. We're going to have a ton of extra stuff for Keeneland as well as our whole Derby package on there as well. Let's thank our founding partners. We just talked about Clay, 10 Strike Racing. They've been with us since the beginning. We love to root for the purple and black around here. Also, Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. This is where Kim Weir works now, doing amazing work helping humans and helping horses through Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. Going to be hearing a lot more about them this year to learn more about their mission to give generously to their cause. InTheMoneyPodcast.com/horses. Most of all, though, want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your photos.
it's just me.